We're doing race baseball tests again. Mr. Shem finishing Tiers Kelm today. I'll read it in again. Yonza Kalim Shehem Aruchais V'asil Koytetson. If you have Kalim that have a very long handle, and your plan is you're gonna cut off the edge of that handle. Matvil Admakum Shehasil Koytetson V'dayeh. So all you only have to travel them as far as the handle is to where you're going to cut off, and that's good enough. So there's a picture here. Those of you who are more visual, that the Gemara says that the din is kol ha'amid lachter kechatuch dami. Some that's going to eventually be cut off is as if it's already been cut off, and therefore we have our kli over here. We have a kli over here that has the kli has two parts to it. It has a part that's going to stay permanently, and a part that's going to come off eventually. So the din is, you only have to toggle it to make sure that the part that's permanent stays and gets into the mikvah, and the part that is there now, but it's eventually going to be cut off. That's in this case, it's you see the white shaded part. That part you don't have to get into the mikvah. Okay, so as you see in this exciting diagram, visualization. The kli is not really all the way in the water. Okay, the kli as it exists today. The kli as it will exist tomorrow when you break off the other half, that part is in the mikvah, but the part that exists that's right now, you would see a piece of that kli sticking out of the mikvah. Okay? So, a number of achronim ask the same question on this din. Okay, this din, there's a din for Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mishnah, a number of achronim ask the same question. Okay, but I'm going to tell you the names just so you get for perspective of when this Shiloh started. It's in Rav Osner. He brings it from Meiri. Put the Meiri on the side for a second. Rav Osner and Rav Shach and Rav Ezri and Rav Nenezer, the Tzemach Tzedek, the later one, the Lubavitcher, and Rav Moshe. And maybe in the Chazon Ish also. Okay, just for perspective of who's asking this question. Okay, you'll hear why in a second. The din is that when you title something, you have to put the thing, excuse me, into the water all the way. Okay, that's part of the din. The din is that if a person is in the mitzvah and one ear is sticking out or their finger is sticking out, then they were not yetzer, they didn't tovel it. That means to say is if they had a chatzitza on 40% of their body, midderaisa they were yetzer because they were in the water. But if their chatzitza, they had zero chatzitzas, but one finger was sticking out of the mitzvah, the person was not tovel at all. So the question that these are going to be asking is, so in this case, let's accept what the Gemara said, that kaha armid lachter kachatuch dami, and the white part is not there. The white part, the part that's going to eventually be cracked off, is not considered to be there. We ignore it. But Lamaisa, the place with the connection between the white and the black, the connection between the place where the kli will be broken off, and what is left behind, that connection point is not touching any water. Okay, it's not even under the water. You see, that's why I made it in white. It's as if there's an empty, there's a root right from that kli out to the ear, and it's not surrounded by water. So, how are you going to the tila? So we could say kol amalachtik or chaduch dami. We could say last time we talked about that it's only a base of starim, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So it's not a chatzitza, very nice. It's not a chatzitza, but lamaisa, it's not in the water. Okay, now before we move on to talk about an answer to the question, this question presupposes a piece of information, an assumption. Okay, I'm not convinced that everybody agrees with that assumption, and that assumption is that when we say that a kli has to be in the water, it has to be completely surrounded on all 360 degrees by water. Okay? The way we know that a kli has to be in the water, the Rama brings up the pasuk is, b'mayim yuvah, and a couple of words, v'toher. So it has to be in the water. So he says, if something's not in, it was not b'mayim yuvah. Now, you could really argue that, okay, ignoring the white part, that this is b'mayim yuvah, it's in the water. The fact that there's this mysterious tunnel of empty air in one direction, right? This is mysterious where the kli, the part that's going to break it up, it's not here. You could very well argue that that's b'mayim yuvah. It's in the water. Look at the black part. The black is completely in the water. It's completely under the water. There's nothing of it sticking out of the water. Okay, now, the kasha is, no, this is like an ear space that makes its way out. But you could well understand that it's not like that. Okay, you could well understand that it's considered, it's b'mayim yuvah, you put it into the water. There's nothing out of the water. You could well understand that. Okay, so what I'm saying is that the fact that this question didn't show up until 100 years ago, and then since then, a whole bunch of achronim asked the kasha, but it's not there, makes you wonder that maybe people weren't bothered by the question, because maybe it's not a question altogether. Okay?
Anybody see the kasha right there?
No, but I'm saying, but until, again, until 100 years, right, I've listened to you, the 5-6 people who ask this kasha, so it just makes you wonder. I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just saying it makes you wonder that maybe it's not, the other people just didn't think it was a kasha altogether. No one was struck by saying, hey, it's not in the water. Until 100 years ago, you don't see that question being asked as, hey, it's not in the, what's going on, it's not in the water. Okay? Yeah, the black, you missed the beginning of the slide. It used to be black all the way up before they broke, before, that was the part they got to break off. Okay, so one answer, which is a big chiddush, is Avner Nezer. Okay, Avner Nezer says like this. I didn't have time, I didn't make a picture of this. Okay, Avner Nezer says like this. He says, when you have a finger or a piece of hair sticking out of the water, think of the part that's out of the water. Okay, we'll do this to get a live drawing coming from, okay? That's the water line, okay? And here's the person's finger that's sticking out of the water, okay? Here's the person's finger sticking out of the water. He says, this piece, the part that's not in the water, is surrounded on almost all sides by non-water. Okay, on this side, and on this side, and this side, this is air, there's no water over here. He says, so we always look at things by their roiv. The roiv of this thing, of this part, the part that's above the water, is not in the water, and if so, it's out of the water. So part of the cleat did not get into the water. He says, but in our case, when we, here, we go over here now. In our case, the only thing that's not in the water is this one line. Okay, everything else, so that top area that's not in the water, the part that you're not in the water, that's only a mere, because of that section, on all other sides of that section, it's in the water. There's only one tiny, one upper-facing surface that's not in water. Everything else, this part is in the water, this part's in the water, everything's in the water except for one flat surface on the very top. And so he says, so therefore we go by the roiv of that also, and the roiv of that thing is in the water, so it's in the water. The only thing that's out is a mere of a part. Not just to have the roiv of the kli. Of course you have to have every bit of the kli. But each piece of the kli has to be only, so to speak, roiv in the water. That's a little hard to say. Okay, but so that's what he wants to say. So when the finger is sticking out, that piece that's out is 90% out and 10% in. Its bottom surface is in. But the whole side and the top of it is out. See, he wants to say that's considered to be, that it's in, this is considered to be in the mitzvah, because most of the piece that's not in the mitzvah actually is in the mitzvah. Okay? Now, you understand that what I just said, which I had a hard time saying it even, what I just said, is a big chiddush. Okay, it's a big chiddush. I didn't see
people. Wouldn't that mean if some part of you is perfectly level with the water?
Exactly. In that case, he would hope that's exactly like this case, and it would be okay if you were on the surface. Okay, all that is a big chiddush, okay? If that was the truth, then you think someone would speak out. Like what you also said, that example of that, or just someone speak this out, this whole thing is a big chiddush. So to me, it's a chiddush. Okay, and he says what he says. But you could understand that other people might not agree with it. Okay? I did see, but Tzemach Tzedek and Ramosh say almost exactly the same answer. I mean, it's essentially the same answer. And they say like this. They say, Kol Ha'omer Lachter Kechatoch Domi tells us, which is that's the din here is based on that, as the Gemara says, it's based on that. It tells us that we see a kli that goes all the way up. Okay? We see a kli that goes black all the way out of the mikvah. Okay? But the din says, the top part, which in here it's white, the top part does not exist. He says, what would happen if the truth was that the white part wasn't there? What would be if in physically it wouldn't be there? Not just in theory, in physically it wouldn't be there. What would happen? The water would wash over the rest of the kli. So an extension of kol ha'omer lachter kechatoch domi is pretend it's cut off. If it was cut off, the kli would be covered with water. So it is covered with water. What? The kli would fall. No, that's not our problem. We have to, when we say kol ha'omer lachter, it's not just to say therefore it shouldn't be chatzitza, it shouldn't be chitzit beis hasharim, when we talk about this and all that kind of stuff. He says it means it's broken off. It doesn't exist. It's gone. If it's gone, then there would be water there also.
It's physically there. Something that's kechotet them. It's not connected to this thing. What if I have some foreign piece that's not connected, but stuck onto it in such a way that water can't get in?
So that's a special thing that's called a chatzitza. So in this case, this had not a din of a chatzitza because of whatever reason. But if it was not a chatzitza and it's not here, then the thing would be covered with water. Okay, they both say it. They don't use the exact same word. I was going to put the words make you feel better.
The chatzitza is that it's there. What if it would be something that's not connected that would be stuck in it and stuck onto it in a way that water can get in?
So what's the
why is it any better?
That's called a chatzitza. So that's a chatzitza. The
no, it was stuck in from the top like that, blocking the.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. But we're saying since in that case, since it's not...
That would be chatzitza?
No. In your case, we went out of the water. We would say is since it's not meant to come off. They're saying since it's not meant to come off, it's not meant to come off. So it's there, and if it's there, then it blocks the water.
What if that thing was truly not connected? That white piece was truly not connected. It was just stuck on tight onto the thing, so water couldn't get in. Right. It was sticking out of the water. Wouldn't that be a problem?
So you're saying let it be chotuch, but it's touching.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a, to me, aside that, I thought it was a fair answer. Not for me to judge, really, but it's a fair answer. But it says to me, it's satisfying to me, because if that's the truth, then I'm happy with why until they asked the question, people didn't feel like they had to ask the question. The Gemara says it's kachatuch dami, and they understood that meant is it's mamash kachatuch. It's like it's not there. If it's not there, then the water's hitting all the spots. But I understand why somebody wouldn't bother to ask if they knew that answer. Okay. Now, next thing. This din, this Mishnah, this kli with the piece that's going to be broken off, sounds like a really nice din, but it doesn't sound like very practical to us. Most of us don't have kalim yet. We do tefillas kalim on new kalim. We don't do tefillas kalim on kalim that are going to be broken and we're going to readjust them. A lot of these things are not going to get to us. But Rav Moshe has an example, a halacha l'maisa case that is based on this din. Okay, he brings a case that's halacha l'maisa, and that is, he says, it is in Han. There's two truths in a row about it. Were written in the 50s, and in the 50s they had. I'm sure they still have it now. These are pots from the 50s. They had these pots, electric pots. Okay, I'm sure people still have the same kind of thing. And these pots were basically one piece pots, and the on the bottom was an electric coil. And on the top was like a cooking area. Okay, there's two versions of it. I got a lot of them if you want. If you want to come back to my desk. Okay, all kinds of different choices. Okay, and there's a cooking area on the bottom. You see, they have a plug, and it cooks up on the top, which is where the food goes. Okay, so the question was, people didn't want to travel them because they were going to ruin the pot if they dunked it into the water. Okay, we talked about that separately, whether dunking it into the water, what you do about that. But Rav Moshe is going with an assumption. Well, he doesn't talk about that part. He says, okay, the people want to travel it, they don't want to ruin it. So Rav Moshe says, what you could do is, I'm going to skip to the end. Rav Moshe says, what you could do is, you could take the kli, turn it upside down, put it into the mikveh, only include the part where the food goes, and don't include the electrical part. Don't worry about the electrical part. Just put in the part that has where the food goes, and that's good enough to travel. So you don't have a problem. You're not getting wet, the part that's sensitive, and you can get it. Okay? Now that, he explains, is based on three pieces, three steps to get to that conclusion of what I just told you. And they are. The first, which is the most contentious part you'll hear, what he says is, even though this kli is one piece, okay, ignore the cover. Even though the kli is one piece, the heating element and the cooking area are one piece, since the heating element and the cooking part do completely different functions, one is where the food goes and one is the heating element, that considers it the two different kalim. Okay, that is the most contentious part of what he said. It's considered two separate kalim. There's a heating kli and there's a pot for cooking food, and that's the first part. Now, of those two kalim, when you just decide the two kalim, which of them are klei suda? Well, the top part where you cook the food, that's of course klei suda. You're cooking it. The bottom part, which is a heating element, that's separate kli, what he's calling a separate kli, that's not klei suda, and never even touches food. So that's not a klei suda. If so, you only have to tie over the top, what he calls the top kli, the top part, which is where the food goes. Now, so you dunk the top part into the mikveh. You don't have a problem. You dunk the top part into the mikveh, lamaisa is, you didn't get the whole thing in. There's not water on one side. He says, no problem. We just learned it in. If you have your other side, Caleb, that are not a chatzitza, that also cut this one, and they're not a chatzitza, he says, no problem. Just put it in. Leave the other parts sticking out of the water, and you don't have any problems. You're stuck in the clay that has to be terrible. It has this other attachment onto it that's not bothering anybody. It's not a chatzitza. It's not a machdin on it. It's just sitting there attached onto it. No problem. Just stick in the kli, the part that you want. That's the kli suda, the top, what he calls the top, so to speak, the top kli. Don't put in the bottom kli, and you're okay, and you tie with it, and you will find. Now, it looks like a pot on the inside.
I'm trying to understand where is the heating element and where is the...
Underneath. Think it's a pot. Imagine if you had a pot on a heating coil, but they're just glued together. Okay, you don't see if you put your food in, it doesn't touch the heating coil. It's just on the top part. It just looks like a pot. It's just like an inside of a pot, and underneath it there's a coil. Underneath
it, we can't see.
Yeah, the same thing.
But how is it different than a pot, the bottom of the pot needs tefillah?
The bottom part doesn't need tefillah, just the whole clean needs tefillah.
Right.
So it needs tefillah also. So over here, this part is like exactly like Ardim, Yom Zakelim, that are going to be cut off. And you're not worried. That's a separate kli that doesn't have to be cut. It's not one kli. To me, the chiddush of what he said. It's not one kli. It's two kalim.
No, I understand that. So you have two kalim stuck together. But I mean, imagine if this is the pot, and here you have a ring that's a coil. Does this part of the pot need tefillah?
Yeah.
But this part of the pot doesn't, because that's where the coil is stuck.
That part also needs to be tefillah. So, and that's exactly when you have a kli. Something stuck on to your clean needs to be terrible. You only have to put it into the water till that spot. And the fact that that part doesn't touch the water is okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm struggling with the besides the lumbers, practically, how is it possible to terrible the entire clean besides the part where something else is stuck? How are you going to terrible here but not here?
Oh. I don't think the coil is glued on. Okay, I wasn't being so clear. I didn't realize how exactly it meant. The coil is not. The coil is underneath. You're right. If the coil was stuck on, you'd have a problem. Because then I couldn't get the whole cleat in, because it would hit the coil. You're right. It's more like, the coil is a quarter of an inch below it. It's not actually touching it. But you're right. If the coil would be actually touching the very bottom of the cleat, you'd have a problem, because you couldn't get the cleat in without getting the coil in also.
And the handle on the bottom and all that stuff, which I'm not handling.
So, it's a good question. Where the cutoff is between the top of the pot and the bottom, the top pot and the bottom pot, I'm not sure. Okay, so, the exact opposite. Rabbi Yashiv says, okay, he says, if you have a kli that's made of two parts, he's talking about a blender, it's made of two parts, but one part doesn't function without the other. You can't do anything with the bowl of the blender if you don't have the motor on the bottom that turns the thing around. Okay, so he says, if you have a kli that's made of two, even though they're two completely separate parts, you have to title both parts, because he says, even though they're two separate kalim, they're as if they're one kli. Okay, so here Rabbi Moshe said, even though it's one, to us, regular people, it looks like one kli, it's really two kalim. And Rabbi Yashiv says, even though it looks like two kalim, it's really one kli. Okay, so my suspicion is, I didn't find someone specifically who said that there's somebody who people would think right there in the middle. Which is to say, is if it's two separate kalim, like a blender with a bowl next to it, they would say, come on, it's two kalim. Try with a bowl, don't worry about the motor. Okay? And they would say about this kli, they'd say, this is one kli, this is not two kalim. I would think that there would be people, I didn't find someone who said that, but I would suspect that there are people who sort of take the compromise position over here, which is, don't say, this is one kli, and the blender is two kalim. Okay, but Rav Moshe says, doesn't it, even if it looks like one kli, it's only two kalim, and Rav Yashiv says, even if it looks like two kalim, it's only one kli. And again, I suspect there's someone in the middle. Okay? Okay, last. There's a din.
But what about this? It's not
So Rav Moshe actually says, even Tosis, who doesn't hold to this din, would agree with you. He says, because over here, you're totally not makbid. He says, you're right, it's not omid lachtach. He says, but you're 100% not makbid. You're very happy to have that thing attached to it. So he says, he wants to even say Tosis, who doesn't agree to this din, the base of the stone, would agree over here. Okay, I forgot to say that step. Even Tosis would agree. He says, you're not makbid, it's a mere chanamak. Okay, now, the din is that when you table something, when a person is table, a person has to be table their whole body at once. Okay, the Chacham Sadan says that if you only table part, then the other side still has tumah, and the tumah spreads to the part that you were table to. Okay, I don't know exactly what that means, but I believe it. So he said you have to table a body has to table the whole thing at once. You can't table a person can't be table first one hand and then the other hand. Okay, so not only does everything have to get into the water, not only the mayim yuvah do you have to get into the water. It's I think the pasuk is from Mubah Hashemesh V'Toher, just like the sun sets all at once. I don't know what, but somehow the sun sets all at once. Then so too a person has to be table all at once also. Okay, now that thing says in tefillah of people. And the Chacham Sadan, everybody assumes that it applies to Tefillah Kalim also. Okay, you see, but that it doesn't say it any place that I found in Hilchos Tefillah Kalim. And the Chacham Sadan says, look, yearly, that you probably have to do it for Tefillah Kalim also, and then he has to be a riot that it's true. He means a riot from a certain case, a case of a very large kli. He says, why don't they just say, Tefillah of the parts? Do first the left side, then the right side. So he says, it seems like that the din is that by Kalim has to be also. He seemed like he wasn't so sure. The din happens to say by people, doesn't happen to say it in our simanim about Tefillah Kalim, but the Chacham says, L'chayr it is, and that's what most people assume. Most people assume when you table a kli, you have to table it at once, right? We saw it earlier, like we said, when you have a kli, you shouldn't hold on to it too tight. The guy's afraid to drop it. So why didn't he just you know, turn it around and hold it, keep holding it and spin it around. You get the impression that you have to turn the heat all at once. You can't just do it in, you know, hit first the left side and then the right side. The Chacham Zon says, it's true. He says, nearly, yearly or something like that. Nearly that should be true. And nearly, he says. Again, but everyone assumes like that. Okay. Now, what happens, but this is sort of related to this. What happens if we have a kli where there's more than one shape or form that the kli could have? Which means to say is, whichever way, I'm going to show you some, give you some examples. Whichever way you're going to be titled it, something is going to be covered up. Okay? So my first example is, this is called, I didn't know it had a name, but it's called a spring form pan. Okay? It has a name. Okay? A spring form pan, those, that's, it's not the exact same pan, but the same type of pan. And that is, it has this, what do we call it, the band that goes around the edges, or it has a bottom, like a base. What you do is, you open up the latch, and you wrap the band around the base, then you fill in your cake onto the inside, in a liquid form, then you bake it, and when you finish baking it, you open up the latch, take off the band, and now the cake is freestanding. Okay, so the pan, it gives form to the food, but it's called the spring form, because you can open up that latch, I don't know what they call it, not a latch form, but you open up the latch, and now you can take off the outside, once it's baked and it holds its shape, you can take it off. Okay, so, how should you title this? Should you put the pieces together, or should you take them apart? Well, if you put them together, there are going to be parts that are covered up. You think about the base, the outside of the rim of that base is going to be covered up if it was in the pan. Look at in this picture, the base is covered up by the band that goes around it. And the latch itself, whichever way you're going to turn the latch, something's going to be covered over. Something's going to have a chatzitza to it. Okay? What happens if you have a poultry scissors? Okay, you have scissors. We talked about whether they need to be titled or not. But I mean, let's say you have to title them. Okay, the kind that needs to be titled. Well, a scissor, by its nature, there are two blades. And they're always, one piece is always being covered by the other one. Well, so how should I title it? If I title it open or closed or in between, whichever way, something is going to be covered. Right? I'm always covering something. Okay, or, I meant to bring this in. My children have a collection of pocket knives. Okay? So I meant to bring them into you. But a pocket knife, also the same kind of a thing. Okay, this is the Aruch Shulchan talks about a pocket knife. Is you have a pocket knife, when you open or close it, something is covered. Okay, there's always, not, it's really not always. Sometimes it open and closes that. Anything touching, they just come near each other. But in lots of cases, it actually covers something. So which way should I title it? Should I title it open or closed? Whichever way I'm going to do it, something is not going to be in the water. Okay? Well, what happens... More, when I have a pocket knife that has not just a knife, it's got 14 pieces that come out of it. Okay? So which way do you want me to do? You want me to open up all the things? Should I close them? Should I open and close them? Should I sit there in the middle opening and closing and titling it 26 times? What am I supposed to do? Okay? So it seems to me that the rule is, based on what we saw, was like this. Any place that's going to be, that is considered a base of star, any place that when it is tends to be covered when you use it, but is exposed at times. Like I think about the latch in this pan. Okay, the latch in this pan is, as a rule, the parts that are covered right now when it's closed are basically closed. But you open it up, they could be exposed. Okay, the base of starum. To me, they seem like base of starum. Maybe even the inside of the rim. I'm not sure about that. The rim on the base. Those places are base of starum. You don't have to worry about chatzitzas on base of starum in Tfilas Kehillim. We don't care about that there are chatzitzas on there. So let's say one part of the latch is covering the other part. Okay, that's not a problem. It's at the worst it is a chatzitza on a base of starum. We don't care about chatzitza as a base of starum. Okay, when we don't deal with that, when we have things that are not base of starum, in my mind, like when you open up a pocket knife, the knife and the way you use it, those are exposed areas. It seems to me, I'm not sure that the fact that you could close it up doesn't count it as base of starum. So for those, I saw people who said that you always have to title it in the way that it's used. Okay, think about the way that you would use it, and that's the form that it has to be. Now, in this pan, I don't know which way you call the use. It's used the baking, or I guess it's the baking form. But like in a pocket knife means open. I still don't know what you do if you have 14 tools. Right? You can never use the fork and the spoon and the digging tool and the saw and all the other pieces all at once. I'm not sure exactly which one is considered the use. What?
What would you say about scissors?
A scissor? A scissor is nothing. I don't know what to say. I mean, you use it every place. You don't use anybody. But in the scissors, in my mind, the part that's covered is base of starum. It's parts that are sometimes covered, sometimes it's closed. I'm not sure.
I
You should move it around and play with it. Yeah, you should know. There's actually some of the contemporary plates can talk about. So in the scissors, especially the poultry scissors are meant to be used in a kitchen, they easily break apart because you have to wash them. They don't want food to be stuck in the cracks and crevices. So in Dine Rice talks about, he says, actually, so you would think, break it apart. He says, it's okay if you do that. He says, but actually it's a milo to tevel in its completed form. Okay, he has rayas that you shouldn't tevel. You think the breaking the form is easier because you can get the pieces apart, there's nothing touching each other. But he actually says, he says, it's okay, you can do it. He says, but l'chatchila, you're actually supposed to do it in the completed form. Right. He has rayas, I don't remember, he has rayas that you're supposed to do.